And now Spain actually said that we can't use their bases. And that's all right. We don't want to. We could use their base if we want. We could just fly in and use it. Nobody's going to tell us not to use it, but we don't have to. But they were unfriendly. And so I told him, we don't want to. Spain has absolutely nothing that we need other than great people. They have great people. But some of the European, like Spain, has been terrible. In fact, I told Scott to cut off all dealings with Spain. Spain, first of all, and now Spain actually said that we can't use their bases. And that's all right. We don't. We could use their base if we want. We could just fly in and use it. Nobody's going to tell us not to use it, but we don't have to. But they were unfriendly. And so I told him, we don't want to. Spain has absolutely nothing that we need other than great people. They have great people.
This is my video update on this Wednesday, midday, March the 4th, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And as I said in my video update yesterday, it does look like the Trump White House is going to be recruiting the Kurds to act as boots on the ground in Iran. I was going to say in Ukraine, in Iran. The CIA working to arm Kurdish forces to spark uprising in Iran, sources say. So it's the Kurds. That's who they're going to go with. Probably a mix of Kurds and ISIS. That would be my guess, with some special ops and CIA to coordinate everything. But first, the United States and Israel, they have to weaken Iran sufficiently enough so that they feel that it is time to move the Kurds and the other militias into Iran so that they can try to destabilize the situation further and lead to an overall collapse of the country. That is the plan. That's how it looks. And now you have the media running stories like what I just read to you from CNN, getting the Kurds in there to destabilize things. So the reason that over the past couple of months you've had all of these reports and statements from top officials in Israel, for example, talking about how Turkey is problematic, and a lot of reports claiming that after Iran, Turkey is next on the conflict regime change list. The reason that you had all of that stuff going on over the past couple of months, all of these statements about Turkey, is not because Turkey is next on the list, not because Turkey is going to be regime changed or anything like that. Remember, it was Turkey, Israel, and the United States that worked together to carve up Syria. But now that you have the Kurds being recruited and being put in place to act as the first wave of ground forces into Iran, you had to send a message to Erdogan. So that's what all the reports and statements were about Turkey being problematic. I believe even Naftali Bennett, the former prime minister of Israel, actually said something about Turkey. I think I read one of his statements a couple of days ago where he said something about Turkey being a problem. So basically what all of that was about was keeping Erdogan in check. It was a warning to Erdogan because he gets very nervous when stuff goes on with the Kurds, because the Kurds are a big problem for Turkey. And the last thing they want is to have Erdogan messing things up for their Kurdish invasion plan into Iran. So they're basically telling Erdogan, behave, don't do anything to the Kurds in Turkey or in Syria while we get Kurds to invade into Iran. Don't take advantage of the situation. Don't F things up. They're keeping Erdogan in check. And so that's why you had all of the statements about Turkey, specifically coming from Israel, but also from collective West media. So the Senate, I believe, had, it was the Senate or maybe even the House and Senate, but they had a meeting yesterday, a classified briefing on Iran and what's the plan for Iran and this war. And they came out of that meeting, at least a lot of lawmakers came out of that meeting saying that there is no plan. They have yet to understand what exactly the plan is, what exactly the Trump White House's goal is in this war. And they started to talk about boots on the ground. They're preparing the American public to start to accept the fact that there will be boots on the ground. First the Kurds and ISIS and other militias, accompanied by consultants, advisors, special ops, CIA. And I think everyone understands where this is going. Check out this title from Politico. Lawmakers anticipate Trump will seek emergency funding for open-ended Iran war. Open-ended. It's no longer a weekend operation. It's no longer limited. It's no longer about obliterating their nuclear facilities or even assassinating Iranian top officials. It's now open-ended. Also from Politico, Trump is running out of time to sell his rationale for Iran war. Senior officials keep offering justifications for the conflict with Tehran that the president upends. First, start the war, then figure out how to sell the war to the American people. You're not only going to have to sell an Iran war, but you're going to eventually have to sell an open-ended boots on the ground war to the American people. What did Politico say in this article? Time is running out for Trump to sell the war. The Trump administration hasn't figured out how to sell Iran, and it's running out of time as the administration scrambles to explain the attacks, suggesting that Iran was either on the precipice of having nuclear weapons, possessing ballistic missiles, or attacking Israel. Trump allies are warning the window for the White House to make its case to the president's most loyal supporters is closing. Yeah, you got to make the case to the president's most loyal supporters, not to the American people. The window is closing, according to Politico. Well, if you want to sell something, they've got a good salesman, I guess, in Trump, right? The art of the deal. The art of the deal, the apprentice, the reality TV show, real estate billionaire, and his team of real estate billionaire negotiators, family members, neocons like Rubio, who was asked yesterday about his comments. 2 days ago, he was asked yesterday about the comments that he made 2 days ago, which I talked about on my video update from yesterday when he was asked by a journalist about the war with Iran. Why are we in this war? Why now? And Rubio's explanation, basically his explanation, was that they knew Israel was going to attack Iran. And they knew that Iran was going to retaliate against Israel's attack by possibly retaliating even against the United States. So they launched a preemptive attack on Iran in a defensive way. I believe that's the Rubio war doctrine, a preemptive strike in a defensive manner, in a defensive way, basically admitting that the United States was pulled into this war by Israel. That was the basic admission by Rubio, And this caused a huge uproar across the entire United States, with many people in the media, many analysts. They started to ask even more questions after Rubio's statement, which was a clear admission that Israel had pulled the United States into this conflict by threatening, by actually moving forward, not even threatening, by moving forward to attack Iran. And Rubio was asked about this yesterday. And Rubio's response to the reporter who asked him this question, so the reporter asked him, yesterday you told us Israel was going to strike Iran and that's why we needed to get involved. But today the president said Iran, and then Rubio interrupted the reporter and said, no, where were you yesterday? And the reporter's response, yes, I asked the question. So the same reporter that asked him the question that got Rubio into all this trouble because he admitted that that the U.S. was pulled into this conflict because of Israel going to attack Iran, asked him a question yesterday about this very subject, and Rubio did not understand that it was the same reporter. Where were you yesterday? I was the guy that asked you the question that got you into this mess. And now I'm asking you again to comment on what you said 2 days ago. Yeah, their messaging is in shambles because they're trying to lie their way out of this debacle, out of this quagmire. They're trying to lie their way out of this quagmire that they continue to escalate. Yeah, they are escalating. They are absolutely pounding Tehran, trying to level Iran. Claims that from the Trump White House that they have now destroyed Iran's navy. They're destroying the security infrastructure and architecture of Iran. They actually tried to take out the building. Well, they did destroy the building where the Iranian clerics were voting on the successor to Khamenei. And at first it was thought that they had killed all of the clerics that were voting for the new supreme leader. And later it was announced that that there was no one in the building, or at least the clerics were not in this building, and they were voting remotely from secure locations. But they're just trying to cause chaos and just level Iran and get it to a point where they can then send in the ground forces. That's how it looks. Lindsey Graham, he came out of the briefing yesterday urging Trump to join Israel in their invasion of Lebanon, as Israel is now fighting Hezbollah in Lebanon. So we kind of have another front in this conflict, if you want to call it that. Lindsey Graham said that it is time for Trump to join the Israeli military fighting in Lebanon. He also reacted to the briefing on Iran strikes, saying it's not if they fall, it's when they fall. The demise of this regime is at hand, and the goal is to make sure they can never be a threat like they were before. Is that the goal now, Lindsey? Is that what this is all about? By the way, the United States, the Trump administration, is going to request an additional $50 billion to compensate for weapons used in this war so far. And Trump has also called in the CEOs of Lockheed and Raytheon and other MIC companies to the White House so they can talk about dwindling stockpiles of weapons, for which Trump said in a Truth Social post, the weapons are unlimited. They're the best weapons. I like it. They're the best weapons. Unlimited. But we're also going to go around the world and look for stockpiles. That was his Truth Social post yesterday. Now he's calling in the CEOs of the MIC companies to talk about the dwindling, depleted ammunitions. So that is also going on. But another $50 billion that we're just getting started. Just getting started. The MIC is loving this. 4 days into this conflict, and they're already about to pocket a cool $50 billion. So in the White House, Trump was meeting with BlackRock Mertz. I'll get into the meeting in a bit. But he was asked by a reporter about who he is going to choose as the next leader of Iran. Trump is putting a very confident spin to the military operation. For Trump, it does look like this thing is all wrapped up. He believes that Iran does not have any fighting left, and now the United States, the U.S. military, is just kind of wrapping things up. They're finishing off whatever is left to do in Iran, and then Trump is going to choose the next leader. And so the reporter asked him about Reza Pahlavi, the fresh prince of Langley, if he is going to be the next leader of Iran. And Trump basically said no. He said Reza's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. But he wants to go with someone from within. That was his message to the reporter. That's the democracy that the United States is bringing to Iran. The democracy that the United States is going to bring to Iran, that it's trying to bring to Iran, is Trump choosing the leader. That's the democracy. I get to choose. I like it. I choose. So that was an interesting reply from Trump to this reporter. We are going to choose. I am going to choose who the next leader is going to be once I'm done bombing the country and destroying the country. Then I will choose the next leader. And sorry, Reza, we're not going to go with you. He did the same thing to the Nobel Prize winner, Machado, huh? Machado thought she had it all wrapped up. She was going to be el presidente of Venezuela. And Trump decided not to go with her. What is going on with Venezuela, by the way? What is happening with Delcy Rodriguez and Venezuela and Trump's other regime change operation from a couple of months ago, the kidnapping of Maduro and Delcy Rodriguez, the vice president, taking over? So there's this report, this claim coming out that says a military commander told U.S. troops that Iran is part of God's divine plan. The commander actually told U.S. military that Trump has been anointed by Jesus to light the signal fire in Iran. That's wacky. That is absolutely batshit crazy. But there are people that think like this. There are a lot of people that think like this. We have a word for them in Greek Orthodox. They're called heretics. Anyway, that is a story that is making the rounds. And then we have Witkoff. We have this interesting story about Witkoff during the negotiations. So Witkoff, he is making the rounds on the media channels, and he is claiming that when the U.S. team, Witkoff and Kushner, met with Arachi and his team in Geneva, the Iranians started to boast about having enough uranium enriched so that they can create 11 nuclear weapons. And for Witkoff, this was very alarming. And this is basically what made the final decision for a conflict with Iran for Trump. This was it. 11 nuclear weapons. That's what he claims the Iranians told him. And he went back to the United States, and that was all Trump needed to get him to start this war. Now we are getting a response from Iran, from Iranian officials, and not only Iranian officials. We have some diplomats, some sources familiar with the meetings who are also saying that it was Witkoff who sabotaged the negotiations. Diplomats claim Trump's special envoy undermined Iran talks. A Persian diplomat with direct knowledge of the talks told MS Now exclusively that Steve Witkoff's description of a key conversation was false. They're saying that Iran told Witkoff that they're ready to make a deal and that they're willing to make big concessions, including on the uranium enrichment, and that Witkoff apparently did not understand what was being conveyed to him and the concessions that Iran was willing to make in order to avoid war. And now he is going on media channels and he is misrepresenting what was discussed in Geneva and the concessions, the big concessions, especially with regard to uranium enrichment that Iran was ready to make. The diplomats told MS Now, that's MSNBC, right? They changed their name to MS Now. Anyway, they're telling MS Now that the one thing that Witkoff did not like, that made him very angry, was the fact that Iran was not going to budge on the ballistic missiles issue. They were not going to talk about ballistic missiles. That was not on the table. They were not going to negotiate on the ballistic missiles, but they were ready to make very big concessions on uranium enrichment. So Arachi, he posted on X, when complex nuclear negotiations are treated like a real estate transaction, and when big lies cloud realities, unrealistic expectations can never be met. The outcome? Bombing the negotiation table out of spite. Mr. Trump betrayed diplomacy and Americans who elected him. We did many programs on the Duran, and Alexander always brought up the point, not only when it came to Iran, actually, but when it came to Russia and the negotiations that were actually taking place on the same day, back to back, very difficult, very complex negotiations between the United States and Iran, as well as the United States and Russia and Ukraine, all happening on the same day with Witkoff and Kushner representing the United States. Rubio, the Secretary of State, nowhere to be found. He was not at these negotiations, even though one would think that the State Department would be leading the negotiations. Actually, the Iranian diplomat and the other diplomat told MS Now that they found it very odd, very offensive, actually, that you have these very difficult, complex negotiations and you don't even have the Secretary of State and the National Security Advisor, by the way, Marco Rubio, at these negotiations. Actually, they said that Rubio decided that it was more important during the day of meetings in Geneva for him to be meeting the defense minister of Greece. That seemed to take priority over this meeting with Iran in Geneva. And so Alexander's point in all of this was not only do you not schedule such important negotiations, two different sets of important negotiations on the same day, you don't do that, but you don't even have a proper diplomatic team in place. What you have is a real estate guy and the president's son-in-law trying to negotiate two sets of very difficult, complex crises. And so it looks like this is the result. This is the result of having Witkoff and Kushner as your chief negotiators with Iran, and then on the same day with Russia and Ukraine, nothing's going to get done, and things are going to be misunderstood and misrepresented, because Witkoff and Kushner are not diplomats. No one even knows what Kushner is, by the way. What is Kushner? He's the son-in-law of the president, but what's his role in the White House, in the administration? No one even knows. I don't even think it's been defined. But there he is, negotiating with Iran, negotiating with Russia and Ukraine. And so the outcome, as Arachi points out, is that you end up with a war. So Bloomberg put out an article with the title, Europe's economy can ride out Iran war, if over in a month. If over in a month. JP Morgan, as well as Goldman Sachs, I believe they put out a report saying that yeah, Europe can perhaps make it if the war is concluded in about 25 days. If they cannot get this war ended in 25 days, then Europe is going to have a major gas problem. A major gas problem. Gas, I've got a gas problem, says Ursula. Tatters, my tummy hurts. I have a gas problem. Yeah, it's going to be a big time gas problem. Big time for Europe. So they have about 25 to 28 days. That is what JP Morgan and Goldman are saying. And that is what Bloomberg is reporting. And all of this stems from the fact that that Qatar has shut down its gas. And the EU was dependent on pretty much two, three sources. But they were very much dependent on Qatar. They're now very much dependent on the United States. You have gas here in the Mediterranean. All here in the Mediterranean. Cyprus, Israel, Egypt. So now you have Qatar offline. The EU has sanctioned Russia, right? That was easy gas. Pipeline directly to Europe. Cheap, reliable, dependable pipeline gas. They said, nah, let's sanction all of that. Let's sanction the Russian pipeline gas. Let's sanction the Russian LNG gas. Let's go after the Russian shadow fleet. Let's do that as well. Everything will be okay. What could possibly go wrong? We're diversifying, said Ursula. We're diversifying. We're gaining energy independence, she said. She said that two, three weeks ago. She came out and said, we are getting energy freedom, energy independence, by further sanctioning Russia and further sanctioning the Russian shadow fleet and cutting off Russian gas to the EU and all of Russian energy, oil and gas, to the EU by 2027. Energy independence. And we're going to force Slovakia and Hungary to also cut off Russian energy because we need them to get a taste of this energy diversification and energy freedom. We want Hungary and Slovakia to taste some of this energy freedom. Tastes so good, doesn't it? So you got that. You got Qatar offline. You got Russia offline. What happens if the Trump White House, because this is going to be an open-ended war, right? Could be a long war. Maybe it's going to be a short war. Maybe Trump is correct in his assessment. And this is going to be over in a couple of days. Could happen. But what if this ends up being a long conflict? What if the Iranian people say, nah, we don't want Trump to choose our leader. And if any Kurds enter our country, we're going to smash them. What if that happens? And what if Trump says, you know, because we're in a long war, the United States, we need to conserve our energy. So no more LNG exports. No more U.S. LNG exports. Possible. Trump could do these things. Trump can wake up one morning and he can say, you know, I decided that we need to keep the U.S. energy, oil, LNG, we need to keep that in the United States for the next 2-3 months. That's possible. Very, very possible. What happens if Hezbollah decides to target the gas infrastructure the gas platforms, installations in the Mediterranean. They already sent a couple of drones into the Akrotiri base here in Cyprus, just down that way. What if they decide to target these installations? Which my understanding is that they have very little to no security. The platforms for this area, the Mediterranean, which is why Greece is sending some F-16s, a couple of F-16s to Cyprus. They're sending a couple of boats. The UK is trying to send a couple of boats, though they can't figure it out. And France is sending, I believe they're going to send the Charles de Gaulle. They're going to send their big one to the Mediterranean. It's not to protect Cyprus, it's to protect the gas and energy interests. That's why they're coming here. And the UK can't even figure out how to send one boat, one ship to protect their overseas territory, allegedly protect their overseas territory. They can't figure it out. And this is the same UK, by the way, that just a couple of weeks ago was talking about how they're going to get into a conflict with Russia in Ukraine. The same UK that was saying we're going to send boots on the ground into Ukraine to take on the Russians, and we're going to smash the Russians. They can't even send one ship to their overseas territory, their base here in Cyprus. They have to get the French to do it for them. But Macron, he did announce that he is going to create, this should be my clown world, he is going to create a coalition to resume and secure traffic in the Strait of Hormuz. Macron loves them coalitions. Coalition of the willing, coalition of Hormuz. That's Macron's answer. Let's create a coalition. Ursula, let's create a fund. Macron, let's create a coalition. Okay, you do that, Macron. You create a coalition. Vucic came out with a statement, the president of Serbia, and he said, oil prices will kill us all. He believes that Europe will plunge into hell due to the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Well, Mr. President Vucic, it might not only be the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. It might get a lot worse than that if this thing drags on. So, as I predicted in a post on X that I made 3 days ago with regards to the Druzhba oil pipeline, you know, the Druzhba oil pipeline, the oil pipeline that Zelensky does not want to start, that feeds into Hungary and Slovakia, and Zelensky, under the orders of the EU, that would be my guess, the EU were telling the Green Goblin, don't start the pipeline because we want to put pressure on Orban as he heads into elections. That was just a week or two ago. Now it looks like the EU is begging Zelensky to start up the Druzhba. And I predicted this in a post on X by saying, you know what, here's a thought. Maybe the EU should contact Zelensky and restart the Druzhba oil pipeline. That is the post I put on X 3-4 days ago. And now we are getting reports from the Financial Times that the EU urges Ukraine to allow access to pipeline carrying Russian oil. Kiev says evidence shows Druzhba pipeline is too damaged to restart supplies after attack by Moscow in January. EU Commission spokesperson says von der Leyen will hold a call with Ukraine's Zelensky to discuss energy security related items. Le Barnum Ver. Le Barnum Ver. P.T. Barnum, Zelensky. Yeah, the EU is now panicking. And now they're begging Zelensky to just start up the Druzhba pipeline. Actually, Orban even sent a letter to Ursula, and he is saying, look, we need to send people to the Druzhba to inspect the pipeline, to confirm if it's even damaged, because as Hungary and Slovakia, we believe it's not even damaged. And that Zelensky could start this thing up tomorrow if he wanted to. And you know what Zelensky is saying with regards to inspectors coming to check out the pipeline? He is saying, no, I don't want anyone to come and check out the Druzhba. an admission that it has not been damaged and that it can operate tomorrow. And we'll see if Ursula can pressure Le Barnum Vert to start up the Druze Bar. Ursula does have tools, but will she actually use those tools on her little buddy? On her little buddy, Le Green Goblin? We'll see. We will see. Politico is reporting that Ursula and Kaya Kallas are fighting again. EU, von der Leyen, and Kallas on collision course amid Iran war. The two officials are reportedly engaged in a tacit turf war while failing to coordinate a response to the Middle East escalation. And you go through this article, it doesn't even tell you why they're actually fighting, to be quite honest. They're just trying to get their message out about the Iran war. And Kallas wants to put out her message about the Iran war, and Ursula wants her message to take precedent about the EU stance in the Iran war, and they're just kind of fighting between themselves, Ursula and Kallas. Great time to fight. Stunning and brave. And Vandervassel. So while Macron is talking about putting together a coalition to safeguard the Strait of Hormuz, Trump is saying we don't need no stinking coalition. We'll do it as the United States. We'll protect ships. We'll insure ships. And we will protect ships that move through the Strait of Hormuz. I actually said this in a video as well 3-4 days ago, didn't I? I said that maybe the United States should insure ships that go through the Straits of Hormuz. When we got the word that Lloyd's of London was saying, nah, we don't want to provide insurance to ships that are moving through the Straits of Hormuz, I brought it up. Maybe, just maybe, the U.S. can provide insurance. Because right now, all of those ships are not being insured by Lloyd's of London, and that means that they are part of the Shadow Fleet, right? We have a whole bunch of Shadow Fleet tankers now in that region. Anyway, Trump, he posted on Truth Social. Let me read you what he posted. This may be a long video today. We have so much news to get to. Anyway, here's what Trump posted. Effective immediately, I have ordered the United States Development Finance Corporation to provide, at a very reasonable price, political risk insurance and guarantees for financial security of all maritime trade, especially energy traveling through the Gulf. This will be available to all shipping lines. If necessary, important words, if necessary, the United States Navy will begin escorting tankers through the Strait of Hormuz as soon as possible. No matter what, the United States will ensure the free flow of energy to the world. The United States' economic and military might is the greatest on earth. More actions to come. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. So provide insurance and provide an escort, maybe, possibly, he says, if necessary and possibly, the United States is going to provide an escort to ships. And since we're talking about ships, look at all the ships right here. I've never seen so many ships. Here in Limassol, I've never seen so many ships. So the problem that Trump has is that right now the American ships are out of range from Iranian attacks. For the most part, they're out of range from serious threats from Iran. But if they move into the Strait of Hormuz, they're sitting ducks. They are sitting ducks. So I don't think he'll be able to do this. I don't think the United States will be able to provide an escort to these ships, which means that the energy situation will remain as is. Clock is ticking for the EU, for Europe, for the world. And so what do you do with all of this in a situation, if you're the United States and you have this situation, oh, you're in a war, You have all this chaos going on. You could have a financial meltdown, an energy crisis, a global energy crisis. What do you do if you're the United States, if you're the Trump administration? Well, you start another war. That's what you do. You start another military operation. U.S. military just launched an operation with Ecuadorian forces against a designated terrorist organization in Ecuador. Yep, that's the plan. That's the solution to all of this. In a war with Iran, let's start up something in Ecuador. Why not? So we'll see what happens there. Let's do a clown world, a couple of clown worlds, and we'll wrap up today's video update. The BBC, they were talking about the situation in Cyprus, and they couldn't even spell Cyprus. The BBC could not even spell freaking Cyprus. They spelled it C-Y-R-P-U-S, Cyprus. There's a situation going on in Cyprus. Cyprus. The BBC, paid for by British taxpayers, by UK taxpayers, and they can't even spell Cyprus. So let's go to the clown world, which is without a doubt Mertz's meeting with Trump in the Oval Office. And this has to do with Germany, it has to do with Mertz, and it has to do with Spain. With Spain, everybody. The Durant shop. Pick up your Spain shirt from the Durant shop. Shirt, long sleeve, t-shirt, hoodie. The beautiful flag of Spain. I like it. I like it a lot. Like this video. Share this video. Subscribe to this channel. So let's get back to BlackRock Mertz. So Mertz goes to the United States. One would think he's going to the United States to tell U.S. President Trump, Mr. President, please wind down this conflict. Please go back to the negotiating table. Let's figure out a solution to all of this. Iran is ready for a solution to the uranium enrichment. Europe is going to have big energy problems. As Germany, we're already deindustrialized. Our economy is already a complete mess. We're already laying off people left and right. Our businesses are closing. Our businesses are moving. Please, Mr. President, I beg of you, as a friend, as an ally, as a trusted partner, let's find a diplomatic solution to all of this. That would be what a real leader would would travel to the United States to tell President Trump. But no, not Mertz. Not Mertz. He's okay with the conflict. Mertz's message to Trump is the Iranian regime, yeah, they have to go. They have to go, the Iranian regime. And then Trump started to talk about Spain. He started to complain about Spain. And the reason he is complaining about Spain is because Spain is not letting the U.S. military use their air bases or their bases in the region, the bases of Rota or Morón. The naval station of Rota or the Morón air base. Spain is saying, no, we don't want the United States to use these military facilities to launch a war against Iran. And this has upset U.S. President Trump to the point where Trump said that he is going to cut off all trade with Spain. And he's also very upset at the fact that Spain is still not upping their GDP, their 5% GDP to go to NATO. They're still not agreeing to the 5% mark. So he's very upset about that as well. And so it looks like Trump is cutting off Spain. And what was Mertz's reply to that, given that Spain is in the European Union and Germany is in the European Union and their partners and friends and allies and EU unity and solidarity and all of that nonsense? What was Mertz's reply? Nothing. Nothing. Mertz's reply actually was, and this is true, I'll even get you the quote. Mertz's reply was, yeah, you know, Spain really should up their NATO spending to 5%. We're trying, Mr. President. We're trying to get them to up their NATO spending. He actually agreed with Trump. He actually freaking agreed. Quote, "We are trying to convince Spain to catch up," Mertz said during a meeting with Trump at the White House on Tuesday. "As the president said, it's correct. Spain is the only one not willing to accept that. We are trying to convince them that this is part of our common security, that we all have to comply with these numbers." So Spain has to comply with that. Boy, Spain, you got some friend there in Germany in BlackRock Mertz. You got some ally in BlackRock Mertz. So yeah, Trump said we're going to cut off all trade with Spain. We don't want anything to do with Spain. He said that Spain has been terrible. "I told Scott Bessent, to cut off all dealings with Spain. They said we can't use their bases. We could use their bases if we want. We could just fly in and use it. Nobody is going to tell us not to use it." He's kind of right about that. He's kind of right about that. If the United States decides to use those bases, I wonder what Spain is going to do. Is Spain going to tell them no? I don't think so. This is the price you pay when you are a vassal. So that was Trump's reply to Spain. Actually, one second, let me pull up. Where do I have it? Let me pull up a Politico article on Mertz and Spain. If I have it handy, here it is. "Germany's Mertz sits powerless as Trump attacks European allies in Oval Office. The chancellor's strategy of never contradicting the U.S. president is in front of the cameras looks humiliating, but he believes he can talk him around on Ukraine and trade. Mertz looks powerless." For which I said on X, "Vassals are by definition powerless. Under Biden, Germany saw Nord Stream blown apart and did nothing. Why would Mertz dare confront Trump on Spain?" And you want to know what's even more clown world-ish about this entire incident, if that's even a word, is that Mertz then told the media, after all of this went down in the White House, that was after he was humiliated and did not stand up for Spain and basically bowed down to Trump and said nothing about all of Trump's comments with regards to Spain, Germany's EU partner. Mertz actually goes in front of the media and then talks about how Russia has feet of clay and the collective West must increase their pressure, their sanctions, their military escalation against Russia because Russia is powerless and weak and they're ready to collapse. That was Mertz's response after this meeting, after complete humiliation of Mertz and of Germany at this meeting in the Oval Office with Trump in the White House. His response was that Russia has feet of clay. Russia is weak. So we must increase the pressure on Russia. BlackRock Mertz, bro. Embarrassing. Anyway, that is the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble and Telegram. I already talked about the Durant shop. So definitely check out our merch at the Durant shop. And I will see everyone tomorrow. Also, check us out on Substack. The link is in the description box down below. Take care.